Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 3. And today's text is text 32. Yes? Ataha param yad avyaktam avyudha guna brimhitam adrishtashuta vastutvat sa jivo yat punar bhavaha atak param yad avyaktam avyudha guna brimhitam adrishtashuta vastutvat sa jivo yat punar bhavaha atak parang yad avyaktam avyudha guna brimhitam adrishtashuta vastutvat sajivo yat punar bhavaha atak param yad avyaktam avyudha guna brimhitam adrishtashuta vastutvat sajivo yat punar bhavaha. That's a long A. It's not twat, it's twat. Long A. We go over this every class. You have to pronounce the long A's properly. So it's not vastu twat. It's vastu twat. Long A. Okay, please chant. Atak param yad avyaktam avyudha guna brimhitam adrishtashuta vastu twat sajivo yat punar bhavaha adrishtashuta vastu twat sajivo yat punar bhavaha atak param yad avyaktam avyudha guna brimhitam adrishtashuta vastu twat sajivo yat punar bhavaha atak param yad avyaktam avyudha guna brimhitam adrishtashuta vastu twat sajivo yat punar bhavaha. Vaishnavins. Atak param yad avyaktam avyudha guna brimhitam adrishtashuta vastu twat sajivo yat punar bhavaha atak parang yad avyaktam avyudha guna brimhitam adrishtashuta vastu twat sajivo yat punar bhavaha. Okay, synonyms. Ataha, this. Param, beyond. Yat, which. Avyaktam, unmanifested. Avyudha, without formal shape. Guna brimhitam, affected by the qualities. Adrishta, unseen. Ashruta, unheard. Vastu twat, being like that. Saha, that. Jivaha, living being. Yet that which punak babaha takes birth repeatedly. So Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard, and unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond this subtlety, otherwise he could not have repeated births. Please repeat. Beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape and is unseen, unheard, and unmanifest. The living being has his form beyond this subtlety. Otherwise, he could not have repeated births. Srila Prabhupada's translation. As the gross cosmic manifestation is conceived as the gigantic body of the Lord, so also there is the conception of his subtle form, which is simply realized without being seen, heard, or manifested. But in fact, all these gross or subtle conceptions of the body are in relation with the living beings. The living being has his spiritual form beyond this gross material or subtle psychic existence. The gross body and psychic functions cease to act as soon as the living being leaves the visible gross body. In fact, we say that the living being has gone away because he is unseen and unheard. Even when the gross body is not acting, when the living being is in sound sleep, we know that he is within the body by his breathing. So the living being's passing away from the body does not mean that there is no existence of the living soul. It is there. Otherwise, how can he repeat his births again and again? The conclusion is that the Lord is eternally existent in his transcendental form, which is neither gross nor subtle, like that of the living being. His body is never to be compared to the gross and subtle bodies of the living being. All such conceptions of God's body are imaginary. The living being has his eternal spiritual form, which is conditioned only by his material contamination. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shtarine Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unvilicham Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Tupadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishamangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubhyasya Kripa Sindhume Evacha Patitanang Pavanevyo Vaisnevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So if we're not sleeping, we pick up gradually the Sanskrit words and their meanings. Just like in today's verse, there's so many words that start out with the prefix a. And if we look at the translation, we immediately make the connection that a means un. Right? Like avyaktam. Vyaktam means manifest, so avyaktam means not manifest or unmanifest. Unmanifested, as Prabhupada translates. Similarly, vyuta. Vyuta means with shape, and avyuta means without shape. In this case, Prabhupada says without formal shape. And we have another one. We have drishta, which means to see or is being seen, and adrishta, unseen. Shruta, heard, ashruta, unheard, like that. So we just have to stay alert as we read Prabhupada's books, and we pick up gradually more and more. And this knowledge is what will deliver us from our gross ignorance, from our illusions. It's this knowledge. This is what we're here for. This is really a knowledge center. A center of dissemination of the highest knowledge, the highest form of knowledge. But we have to stay awake, we have to stay alert, Otherwise, it just goes in one ear and out the other. We have to try to trap something in between. So the point that is being made here today is that we have been discussing the Virat Rupa, which we can say is a gross manifestation or a way of seeing God in gross matter. Yes, this gross matter is actually a form of Krishna. In his conversation with Srila Vyasadeva, which is actually coming up in this canto, Narad Muni makes this point. When Vyasadeva was feeling despondent, he had written all of his books, the Vedanta Sutra, the Vedas, everything was written down, but he wasn't feeling satisfied. So while he was in that unsatisfied, despondent state, his spiritual master, Narad Muni, came on the spot. And the very first point he made was this: Idam Ivishvam Bhagavan Nivetaro Yato Jagatstana Nirodha Sambhava Taddhi Swayam Veda Bhavam Pravartate Pradesha Matram Bhavatak Pradarshitam. He said, Idam Ivishvam Bhagavan Nivetaro, this, the Supreme Personality of God, it is Himself, this cosmos. Idam Ivishvam Bhagavan Nivetaro Yato Jagatstana Nirodha Sambhava. And by Him, creation, maintenance, and destruction takes place. So, it's again meant to drive home the fact that we're not God. People are walking around thinking that they're God. When is the last time you created a universe? Show me a universe that you created. Or show me how you're maintaining this universe. Now, all of us combinedly are gradually destroying this planet, at least that we're living on. But even that we can't do. Think of how many bombs have gone off. This guy in North Korea is practically every day testing some atomic bomb, and still the planet is here. We're so puny, we're so tiny, that we can't even destroy this planet as hard as we're trying to. We can't. And if we get too rambunctious, Mother Bhumi can just shake herself and all of us will disappear in a flash like that. She can do it. It's not beyond her purview. She can do it. If you remember a few years back, there was a tsunami that went around the Pacific Rim. And literally within 24 hours, let's say 48 hours max, it didn't sink into a lot of people. More than 250,000 people died. Almost 300,000 people died from one tsunami. So Mother Bhumi, Mother Nature, she can, like that, just get rid of all of us in no time. And yet we walk around so puffed up, thinking that we're special, important, God. Completely ludicrous. So, Idam Ivishvam Bhagavan Nivetaro Yato Jagatstana Nirodha Sambhava Taddhi Swayam Veda Bhavan Pravartate Pradesha Matram Bhagavan Pradarshitam. He says, your good self, he's speaking to Vyasadeva, he says, you know all of this, I'm just giving you a synopsis. But in our case, we need more than a synopsis. We need the facts. We need to dive in as deeply as we can to really imbibe this knowledge. And then we will start to see Krishna in His real position and see ourselves in relation to Him. As long as we're walking around thinking that we're special, we can do this, we have done that, we will do this and that, what can we do? As it's stated into this verse, Punak Babaha, that's what we can do. We take birth repeatedly because we don't get it. We don't get what we're here for. Like this morning, Subhas was reading from 7th Canto, and it was being pointed out that no matter what you achieve in this lifetime materially, it's going to be taken away. So it's just a waste of your time. It's a waste of time. You're just chasing after this phantasmagoria of becoming more and more important and acquiring more and more and more wealth and go running here and there. And it's just all useless. Because the threefold miseries go with us wherever we are. Miseries caused by our own mind and body. Like this body is now 65 years old and my knees are locking up frequently and, you know, I came up with this rash lately on the skin that's bothering me. So many problems are there in the body, everybody. And it doesn't matter who you are. It's not because I have millions of dollars in the bank I'm going to be guaranteed not to have any physical problems. Absolutely not. Again, from this morning's reading, Savas read where Prabhupada said that some wealthy man was pleading with the doctor, please just give me 4 more years so I can complete my plans. And of course, he's willing to pay for it, but he can't. The doctor cannot extend your life 1 second beyond where you're destined to die or when you're destined to die. It's going to happen. So the intelligent person wakes up and starts preparing for that inevitability. It's just like if you go to school. We all know there's going to be a final test. So you can't be shocked when that day comes and ask the teacher, well, what are you doing? I'm not ready. The whole semester was there for you to get ready. So you can't blame the teacher. Now, why are you giving me this test? You knew there was going to be a final test. And the indication was there all along. There was probably a midterm, and there was probably a homework assignment. So you're going to be tested. So this final test of death is coming for every one of us. We have to be prepared. We can't be shocked when it comes. If we're not ready, whose fault is it? It's our fault. It's our fault. We have to be ready. And that was another point that Narada Muni made to Vyasadeva in that conversation. Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad brahmatamo parina talabhyate dukkhavat anyataksukam kalena sarvatra kapira ranghasa. Very important verse. Prabhupada recited this verse many, many times. Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido. Kovido means intelligent. If we're actually intelligent, this is a sign of intelligence. That you don't chase after happiness up and down, round and round, running here, there, everywhere, looking for happiness. But what's going to happen? How am I going to be happy? Just like the dukkha, the misery comes without invitation. You don't chase after misery in your life. I didn't chase after these locked knees. I remember in this very room, I was looking this morning, I was looking up, see that balloon stuck in that. I think I could have reached it when I was 22, jumping up and down in this very room. I could have gone up there and grabbed it. I used to be able to jump so high. Now I can barely get off the ground. So it's going to happen. The change of body is going to happen. It's happening imperceptibly at every moment. And that's one of the points in today's verse. Avyakta, not manifest. Imperceptible, in other words. The example I like to use is right now in this room, there's so many molecules of oxygen. We can't see them, but we're all dependent on it. If there was no oxygen, we would all gradually expire. So unmanifest means, it doesn't mean not existing. It means that you can't perceive it. Krishna can perceive every single electron in this room. That's Krishna's position. He knows everything, every atom, right down to the minutest particle. But in our case, we're all sitting in this room, which is full of so many gases, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen. We can't see it. But we infer that it is here because we know if it wasn't here, if there was no oxygen, we would all expire. So by intelligence, we infer the existence of the oxygen, but we can't see it. Nobody's sitting here going, there's another oxygen molecule. We can't see it, but we know it's there. So that's what unmanifest means. We have to come to the point where we realize that God is there, even though he may be unmanifest. We can't see him with these eyes. We can't see him with these eyes. Doesn't mean he's not there. That's why he says in the ninth chapter, in my unmanifest form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them, Krishna says, 9:4. By me, my unmanifest form. That means there is a manifest form also. You can become manifest to anyone, anywhere, anytime. Here's a nice example from the Navadeep Dhammahatmya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where when the Pandavas went out to conquer in all directions, because in order to have a Rajasuya sacrifice and establish Yudhisthira as the emperor of the whole world, they had to go out and conquer all the other kings. So Bhimasen, he went south and he went through Bengal, and there was this king Samudrasena, who was a very powerful king. He was also a devotee of Krishna. But interestingly enough, even though he was a Krishna devotee, he was not inclined to surrender just because this Bhimasen shows up and says surrender. So they had a fight. They had a very big fight. And Bhima was losing. But that was not Krishna's plan. Krishna did not want Bhima to lose. So while the fight was going on, Krishna became manifest to Samudrasena, but Bhimasena couldn't see him. That's Krishna's power. He can do that. He can become manifest to one devotee, and another devotee can't see him. So that's what he did. He became manifest to Samudrasena, who immediately, because he saw Krishna, jumped down from his chariot and paid full obeisances. And Bhima thought, oh, he's surrendering. So Krishna can become manifest whenever he pleases, not when we demand. Again, foolish people say, show me God, and then I'll believe in God. No, God is not subject to your order that he has to become manifest because you're demanding. Krishna can become manifest or remain unmanifest according to his desire. So And then in the next verse, 9:5, he says, Na chamat sani bhutani pashame yogam aishwaram. This is Krishna's mystic opulence, he himself says, yogam aishwaram. So somebody claims to be God, you ask them, well, what is your mystic opulence? What can you show me? What can you do? See? Na chamat sani bhutani pashame yogam aishwaram. Bhuta brin, na chabhutasna. Mamava bhuta bhavanaha. He says, all of this is coming out of me. Mamatma Bhuta Bhavana. I am generating everything that you see. So again, anybody claims to be God, ask them, what can you generate? Show me something. Generate something. At best, they come a little so-called vibhuti, a little ashes in the end. That's not substantial enough. Krishna is generating universes and maintaining them. Bhuta Brindacha Bhutasa. Mamatma Bhuta Bhavana. He's generating universes. He's maintaining them and he's destroying them. Can you show me something? Give me a little planet. Give me something. Now, why should I accept that you're God just because you say so? And then when you get a toothache, you have to run to the dentist. And you're waiting anxiously by the mailbox for your social security check to come. You know, what kind of God is that? We don't accept such God. Prabhupada goes beyond not accepting him. Says you should kick them on their face with boots. And then if they're actually God, okay, then they'll chastise you heavily. But if they're not, then you've proven it by kicking on their face with boots. I don't want everybody to run out now and look for somebody to kick. But the point is, we don't accept just because somebody says they're God. And there are so many of them still running around. After Prabhupada has been preaching so strongly for so many decades, still there are so many of them. They keep coming over here and telling people that they're God, and foolish people accept them. And they hold these, you know, oh, God is having a party. Let's all go, you know. No, we're not into such gods. We're into this God that Krishna says, or it's being said here about Krishna, that beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception. So Krishna's, in his original form, is subtle. Spirit is subtle, but it's moving gross matter. Every one of us is a moving demonstration of that. The gross body is there, but if the subtle body is not in order, the mind, the intelligence, then the gross body sometimes seems to be inert, right? People become catatonic. They don't move because the subtle body is not in order. So they're not responding properly. The gross body responds to the desires of the subtle body. The subtle body has desires. The thinking, feeling, and willing are going on the subtle platform. I can't see Jai Chaitanya thinking, but I assume that he's thinking. And I see the result of his thought process by what he does, where he goes when he gets up from here. And the things that he does gives me an idea of what his thought processes are like. So the gross body is being moved by the subtle body, mind, intelligence, ego. And beyond that is the subtlest form, which is the spirit. So you and I, we're actually spiritual souls, spirit beings, very, very fine, so fine that finer even than the mind and intelligence is the and. The finest manifestation is Krishna. So subtle that he can become unmanifest, manifest at his will. Even the subtle jiva can't perceive Krishna without Krishna allowing it. Example I like to use is our consciousness. The consciousness expands exactly to the limit of the body that you're inhabiting. So when the body is born and it's about 19 inches long, that's how far the consciousness expands. Now that same soul, as the body expands, the consciousness expands to match the size of the body. So that means that our individual consciousness is being limited by some limiting factor. Our consciousness doesn't extend unlimitedly. It's always limited to some degree. So when that same minute soul, 1/10,000 the tip of a hair, balasya satabhagasya shatada kopitasya, it's mentioned in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the dimension of the soul. 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. So that same 1/10,000 tip of the hair soul, when it's in the body of a blue whale, which can grow to 100 feet long, that's how far the consciousness extends. So if you touch a blue whale on the very tip of its tail, it feels it. Or the tip of its nose. The consciousness is expanded that far. Whereas our consciousness is limited to 6 feet or whatever. So the consciousness can expand, but there's always a limiting factor. That limiting factor is Krishna. Otherwise, why would we ever desire to be limited? We would just want our consciousness to keep expanding as far as possible. But there's always a limiting factor. That limiting factor is Krishna. So we're always under control. We can't do whatever we want. It may appear like that, foolish people think like that, that they can do whatever they want. But no, you're always limited. And within that limited sphere of existence, the things that you do produce some reaction, good or bad, that you're going to have to suffer or enjoy in this life and in future lifetimes. So today is a very, very auspicious day on the calendar. It is the Krishna Rasa Yatra, which is another occurrence of the Rasalila dance. And apparently occurs twice in the fall. Krishna Vasant Rasa and this Krishna Rasa Yatra. These two times in the fall that Krishna manifests his Rasa dance. And we are meant to support, serve Radha Krishna in this endeavor. Not to imitate. In this material world, we're all trying to imitate Krishna's Rasa dance. We're looking for a partner to dance with. People want to dance all night. And they want to dance with so many partners. It's just a gross imitation of Krishna's Rasa Lila. And we're not meant to imitate Krishna. We cannot imitate Krishna. We simply embarrass ourselves. Again, for some years it seems like, oh, I can dance all night. And then a few years later you can't even get out of bed. So we're just insignificant, foolish imitators of Krishna. We're not meant to imitate Krishna's Rasa dance, Rasa Lila. We're meant to participate by serving the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. That's how we participate. And we meditate. We think of Krishna. Meditation is service. We should not forget that. But it has to be real meditation. Krishna repeats over and over again, think of me. Because thinking about Krishna, thinking of Krishna's activities, Krishna's dham, Krishna's servants, anything connected to Krishna that we think about, it uplifts us. It is actually service, but it's for our benefit. It's not that Krishna becomes, you know, wealthier every time we think about him. No, Krishna's already complete. Atmarama, he doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need any assistance in anything. So his suggestion, his demand actually, because he's God, so he demands. He doesn't have to suggest. He's demanding. When he comes as Lord Chaitanya, he sets the example and he suggests that we follow him. But when he comes as Krishna, Prabhupada said, he demanded, Sarvadharma Pratyaja, Mamekam, surrender to me. Because he's God, that's his position, to demand. And we're so foolish, Prabhupada said, that we were wondering, this is too much. Who are you to demand that I should do this? That's how foolish a conditioned soul becomes. When God orders, we don't want to follow. So he comes again, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to show the way, show the example. So today's also the appearance of Nimbarkacharya. As we know, there are four bona fide sampradayas, spiritual schools to which this knowledge is disseminated. So we're in which sampradaya? Exactly. You have to put Madhva in there. He is the main acharya in our line, Madhva. So then there is the Sri Sampradaya, coming from Lakshmi Devi. And who is the chief acharya in that one? Ramanuja. And then there is the Rudra Sampradaya. And who is the chief acharya in that one? Vishnu Swami. So that leaves one other. So Nimbarka is the chief acharya for which one? The Kumara Sampradaya. Yes, for Kumara. So there's a nice story in the same book I mentioned earlier, the Navadvipa Mahatmya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how Nimbarkacharya was blessed by Lord Shiva, appeared to him because he was very pleased by his worship. Just as Krishna is pleased when we worship him with tulsi leaves, Lord Shiva is pleased by being offered the leaves of the Baul tree. So he was worshipped nicely by this Nimbarka. He appeared to him and he said, the four Kumaras are in a forest nearby. You should go and serve them and then they will give you blessings. So he did that. He went there to this forest and served the four Kumaras. They were very happy to see him, embraced him individually. And then they initiated him into the worship of Radha Krishna. And he worshipped Radha Krishna so nicely that they appeared before him. Krishna became manifest. Radharani became manifest to Nimbarka. And they told him that later on, because he appeared about in, the 12th century. And they said, later on, we're going to appear again in this Kali Yuga. And they showed him their combined form as Lord Chaitanya. And so they told him, in essence, just wait. Don't say anything until the time is right. So he, again, was blessed directly by Radha and Krishna, and he disseminated the knowledge in that line, the Kumara Sampradaya. And then today is also the last day of Bhishma Panchaka. Those who have been fasting following the rules and regulations for that particular vow, Prata, they can end it today. And it's the last day of Karti. Technically, it's the last day we should be chanting the Damodarashka, but I've been here in New Dwarka for quite some time, and I noticed that we always go one day extra. So I don't know if they'll do it again this year, but today, really, we should stop. We'll find out from Savas. We leave it up to Savas. If he wants to go an extra day, that's okay. Nobody can complain. And it's also the actual day of the Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha marriage ceremony. So this worship of Tulsi is so important for us. We cannot overestimate the worship of Tulsi, the importance of the worship of Tulsi. I know for myself, being able to serve Tulsi as soon as I joined the temple in New York in 73 was like the foundation of my devotional life. Almost immediately, Balai, if she's here, she was there at the time, 73 Henry Street. And almost immediately they had me serving Tulsi, you know, putting the skirts on and bringing, just like I think Pavaka does in the morning here, or one of the ladies does. So put the skirts on Tulsi and get the paraphernalia together, bring her to the temple room like that. Any little seva we do for Tulsi. And we're signing every morning, Radha Krishna Seva Pavo Eyabalashi. We're begging for service to Radha and Krishna through the agency of Tulsi's mercy. So we can never, ever overestimate the importance of Tulsi Devi in our devotional life. We should always meditate on Tulsi, treat Tulsi nicely. Like I said, I've traveled extensively throughout the ISKCON world, and you can tell the level of bhakti in a temple by how well Tulsi is cared for. So that responsibility belongs to all of us, not just Mother Ishana, who is the main caretaker for Tulsi in this community. It belongs to all of us. If you see Tulsi looking pale and leaves are falling excessively, and then you should inquire. Don't just think, somebody else is taking care of it. Tulsi Devi worship and care is all of our responsibility. Okay, so we can stop here. Leave a few. Any questions, comments? Okay, Grantarashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. These are locked in a plate. I didn't start.